Iranian president says government has plans to protect for protection of water resources. Iran's intelligence minister voices Iran's readiness to help ensure restoration of stability and security in Iraq. Iran's permanent ambassador to the IAEA says bright future awaits Iran's nuclear issue. Foreign Ministry spokesman points out that Iran and P5 plus 1 can reach agreement. And Iranian police has confiscated 6.2 tons of illicit drugs in eastern Iran. In the name of God, the compassionate and the merciful, hello everyone and welcome to this edition of IRIN and English News with me, Iwan Shirtsas. The Iranian president says the government has plans to protect country's water resources. Speaking to reporters on the sidelines of a ceremony to put into operation Ardak Reservoir Dam on Wednesday, Mahmoud Ahmadinejad said, protection of environment and water resources are the priorities of the government. Referring to high consumption of water in Iranian holy cities due to presence of millions of pilgrims, the president described the issue as one of the most important reasons for special attention which should be made to water shortage in those cities. Highlighting the significance of religious tourism in Iran, President Ahmadinejad said, several hundred thousand foreign tourists travel to Iranian northeastern city of Holy Mashhad to pay visit to the holy shrine of Imam Reza, peace be upon him, the eighth Imam of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, infallible household every year. Iran's intelligence minister has voiced Iran's readiness to help ensure restoration of stability and security in Iraq. Haydar Muslehi made a remark on Wednesday in a meeting with Iraqi Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki in Baghdad. Muslehi said Iran would transfer its experience to Iraqi government in a professional way. He added that the empowerment of Muslim government in Iraq, along with other Muslim governments of the region, would help invigorate influence of Islam in the region and the world. Meanwhile, the Iranian intelligence minister called for the immediate expulsion of the members of the terrorist Mujahideen al-Khalq organization from Iraq. For his part, the Iraqi prime minister stressed that Baghdad will soon expel all the members of the MKO terrorist group from Iraqi territory completely in the near future. Nouri al-Maliki said the MKO has turned into a serious concern for Iraq and the region. Discussing certain regional issues, including the Syrian crisis, al-Maliki said, Iran and Iraq have taken a completely united stance on Syria. He said the two nations believe that the country's crisis has only political settlement, and the Syrian people should decide their fate. The Iraqi Prime Minister also put forward a proposal to the Iranian government to expand security cooperation with Iraq so as to help achieve sustainable and upgraded security in Iraq. The permanent ambassador to the International Atomic Energy Agency says Iran's nuclear program is a national and ultra-factional issue, with a bright future awaiting it. Ali Asghar Soltaniyeh said on Wednesday that what Iran is looking for in its nuclear program is a legal right. Soltaniyeh reiterated that Iran uses nuclear technology for totally peaceful purposes, as enshrined in the NPT, like generation of energy and its applications in medical and agricultural sector. He added that the goal of global arrogance and piling up pressure and threatening Iran is to find an excuse to halt its nuclear program and prevent it from gaining access to a reliable energy source, given the fact that fossil fuels are running out. Thanking the Iranian nation for its wide-scale support for the country's peaceful nuclear program, Soltaniyeh said, as long as the Iranian nation remain united, certainly the global arrogance will not be able to take any action against Iran and its nuclear programs. He pointed out that Iran has had extensive cooperation with the IAEA thus far within the NPT frameworks and intends to continue such cooperation within the same framework. Meanwhile, Iran's nuclear negotiation team has left Tehran for Almaty, Kazakhstan for the second round of talks with the P5 plus 1. The Iranian delegation, headed by the Secretary of the Supreme National Security Council, Saeed Jalili, left Tehran on Wednesday. The two-day talks, which will cover a range of topics including Iran's nuclear energy program, has been scheduled to take place later this week on April 5 and 6. Iran and the P5 plus 1, including China, Russia, France, Britain and the US plus Germany, have held several rounds of talks with a focus on the Iranian nuclear energy program. The last round of negotiations between Iran and the P5 plus 1 group was held in Almaty on February 26 and 7. Iran's foreign ministry spokesman says it is possible for Tehran and the P5 plus 1 group to reach an agreement in their upcoming talks in Almaty if the group would continue with the approach demonstrated in the first round of talks. Rami Mehmanparast emphasized that coming to an understanding in the upcoming comprehensive talks in Almaty would be easily reachable if the P5 plus 1 member states remain on the same course that they had adopted in the first round of talks. Mehmanparast further underlined that the talks are not particularly sophisticated, but a clear and transparent perspective must be drawn for these talks on the basis that the rights of the Iranian nation would ultimately be recognized. Meanwhile, Iran's foreign ministry spokesman pointed out that all issues must be thoroughly defined during the talks so that both sides would feel they are moving towards a final resolution and a setting that is reasonable and logical. Mehmanparast reiterated that the Iranian side always entered the talks with a positive attitude. Iranian border guards have seized 6.2 tons of narcotic drugs during New Year holidays. Commander of Iran Border Guards Hossein Zolfawari said, in the latest operation made on Tuesday night, 2.3 tons of drugs, including hashish and opium, were taken from smugglers in the eastern parts of the country. Zolfawari said, fortunately, no border guard has been injured in the operation. He noted that thanks to police endeavors, transfer of narcotic drugs by smugglers has become too difficult. He explained that there was a 31% rise in the drug confiscations compared to the same period of the previous year. And here's another look at tonight's top stories. Iranian president says government has plans for protection of water resources. Iran's intelligence minister voices Iran's readiness to help ensure restoration of stability and security in Iraq. Iran's permanent ambassador to the IAEA says bright future awaits Iran's nuclear issue. Foreign ministry spokesman points out that Iran and the P5 plus 1 can reach agreement. And Iranian police has confiscated 6.2 tons of illicit drugs in eastern Iran. Zionist regime forces have clashed with Palestinian protesters in the occupied West Bank for the second day following the death of a Palestinian prisoner in Tel Aviv regime's custody. On Wednesday, Zionist regime military fired tear gas to disperse Palestinian demonstrators in the southern West Bank city of Al-Khalil and the town of Beit Amar. Clashes also spread to areas around the Zionist regime-operated Uf prison located near the occupied West Bank city of Ramallah, where Zionist troops tried to scatter the gathering. Meanwhile, people observed a general strike across the Palestinian lands to mourn the death of Masrah Abu Hamdiya, who lost his life in an Israeli jail due to the lack of medical care on Tuesday. Reports indicated that schools, shops, and offices have remained closed in Al-Khalil as part of the general strike. Meantime, Hamas said Zionist regime breaks truce as Gaza cross-border violence erupts.
Hamas movement accuses Israeli occupation with escalating the situation against the Palestinian people, most notably killing the martyr Maysara Abu Hameida in one of the occupation prisons, then committing wild escalation with jets. We accuse the occupation of killing the martyr Maysara Abu Hameida, and this was proven when Netanyahu described Abu Hameida that he was a killer from Hamas movement. This proves that his killing was intentional.
In Egypt, hundreds of protesters gathered in Cairo outside a city's high court on Wednesday, demanding the government to reject a proposed loan from the International Monetary Fund, IMF. The protest came as an IMF team met with Egyptian officials to resume long-delayed negotiations over the loan that would provide $4.8 billion in aid for Egypt's struggling economy.
Today, an IMF delegation has arrived, and the Minister of Finance says that they will sign the loan before the end of April. I say to them, you don't have the right to do that. The President of the Republic doesn't have the right, nor does the legislative authority that now exists have the right to sign this loan.
The condition set by the IMF is allowing the value of the Egyptian pound to fall against the US dollar. The price is now over £8. You will know just how much this will affect ordinary Egyptians.
According to a new survey made by a leading Portuguese newspaper, more people are now feeling disappointed with the results coming from the recent negotiation between the government and Troika over the ongoing crisis in the European country. My colleague has more details.
Confidence in the austerity of the Troika. According to a poll made by a Portuguese newspaper, over two-thirds of people living in Portugal consider insufficient the results of the renegotiation between government and Troika. Most people believe the goals that allow the government to receive one more year for lowering the deficit and spending cuts weren't enough and that more time is needed. Marking present news is the possibility of the Constitutional Court to say no to the state budget, which can lead to the resignation of the government. However, this decision remains in the hands of the president, Cavaco Silva. After 7 Troika evaluation of the Portuguese adjustment program, most people lost confidence in the model applied in the past 2 years.
While a minority accepts the fact that government predictions have failed, many believe that the best would be its resignation. Inês Sutil, Chavaca Quebar, Lisbon.
Now the Cypriot president has warned of difficult days ahead as public demonstrations continue to grow over the bank's confiscation of people's money. Cypriot president Nikos Anastasiades was speaking at the swearing-in ceremony of the new finance minister Harris Georgiadis in Nicosia after ex-finance minister Michel Sardes stepped down on Tuesday. The former minister resigned hours after a probe was launched into how the island was pushed to the verge of bankruptcy. This comes as public demonstrations grow over tough austerity measures following an international bailout agreement. On March 25, Nicosia inked a 10 billion euro bailout deal, which includes a tax of up to 40% on deposits of over 100,000 euros on Cyprus' two biggest banks, with the Troika of the European Central Bank, the International Monetary Fund, and the European Union. An Afghanistan Taliban militant stormed a court in the capital of the Western province of Farah, killing 7 people and wounding 75 others. The attack took place when Taliban insurgents were standing trial at the same court on Wednesday. Witnesses said at least one of the attackers blew himself up. The Taliban claimed responsibility for the attack. Afghan officials said all 10 insurgents standing trial had been freed in the attack. And before wrapping up, North Korea has held massive anti-US rallies across the country in support of its army. Thousands of people dressed in military uniform marched down the streets while holding a banner with messages pledging to support their leader Kim Jong-un and the country's army. The protest comes while tensions have been escalated on the Korean Peninsula after Pyongyang was hit with U.S. sanctions for conducting a third nuclear test in February. Meantime, China said relations between North Korea and its southern neighbor need to be improved to stabilize Korean Peninsula security.
I will help to maintain peace and stability in the Korean Peninsula if the relations between the North Korea and South Korea are improved. We hope both sides will resolve the relevant issues through dialogue. Under the current circumstances, China holds that all parties concerned should remain calm, exercise restraint, and refrain from making provocations, much less carrying out actions that will worsen the situation.
And on that note, we come to a wrap of this edition of iRyan in English News. Join us tomorrow with the latest updates. Goodbye now.